Typically, this time of year is the start of our Christian education emphasis, and we here at Pacific Baptist Church and Pacific Baptist School, we believe in Christian education. And so I wanted to personally thank you for choosing to sacrifice, and I know that it is a sacrifice. I wish that our school could be free, and I wish there wasn't a cost to it. We do try to keep the prices down as best as possible, but I do understand it's a sacrifice. So I want to thank you for sacrificing to give your child a Christian education. At its heart, Christian education is really about the next generation. That is what these little ones right here, they represent. They represent the next generation of godly young people. But please understand this. There is, and we as God's people and as moms and dads, we don't want to be naive, okay? There is a battle going on for the next generation. I'll read this to you. This is by a man by the name of Bob Just in a magazine called The Whistleblower. He and I quote, says this: increasingly, the horror of America's culture is becoming frighteningly clear, both for its evil intent and for its devastating effect on the nation's children. And I don't know about you, I'm not very old, but just in the time that I've been alive, I've seen the culture change an awful lot. We see it everywhere, and most of us feel helpless. The first thing we must do is face up to the word war. If you really lose a war, then everything you have, everything you know, and everything you love changes. Strangers with strange ethics suddenly are commanding you to learn their code of behavior and to actually believe it. In the end, if you are conquered, you lose your whole reality. Let me say this, that we as a country have come a very long way. Some of us might not know this, but the very first college in America was Harvard University. Harvard University was founded basically as a Bible college. Harvard University, their main goal was to prepare men and women to go out and to preach the gospel and make a difference for our new country. As a matter of fact, 8 of the first 9 colleges in our country were considered Bible colleges. Boy, we've come a very long way. Tonight, I'd like to give you a few thoughts on Christian education of the next generation. Let me say number one, I'll be very quick here tonight. Number one, see the potential of our children. We must see the potential of those young ones that are growing up in our homes. Psalms 127, verse number 3, the Bible says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. And they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak in the with the enemies in the gate." Hey, let me say this tonight. Children are a blessing, not a burden. Okay? Hey, don't listen to the world's philosophy that says, hey, don't have any more kids. It's just more of a burden. Children are a blessing. Amen. There's a new philosophy sweeping across our nation. They classify them as married couples, and they call them dinks, double income, no kids. And that's very prevalent. And people are getting married, and they say, we don't want kids. They're a burden. And you got to buy them things, and we just want to travel, and we want to have nice cars, and we want to be able to have white carpets and white couches and not have to worry about getting things dirty. Hey, let me say, children are a blessing from the Lord. I love children. I got 4 of them, 2 boys, 2 girls, and they're a lot of fun. As a matter of fact, we need to have more children. And so, Brother Paul, you're going to have some more kids. But Ratana, you don't stop at five. Come on, you got that one boy. Keep on going. Hey, we need some more kids. Simply, the average, I think the average family in the United States averages 2.2 children per family. Two children is simply only barely enough to sustain a culture, okay? So we are this close to, as a nation, going backwards with our families. Did you know that the average Muslim family averages 8 children? You do the math. Over in Europe, the Muslims are taking over simply by having big families. Hey, we as God's people with the truth of God's word, we need to have more children. Why? Because children are a blessing from God. Amen. Hey, tonight I want us as God's people, as fathers and mothers, to see the potential of these young people. By the way, the world does. Madeline Murray O'Hare, who was the woman responsible for getting God kicked out of the public schools in the 60s, said this: "The struggle for the child is part of the fight for the future of civilization." You see how they talk? They're talking about those kids and the next generation. "The struggle for the child is a part of the fight for the future of civilization. In the years ahead, we will probably find that the battle has become even fiercer. Organized religion in our nation fully recognizes the difficulties in which it finds itself, and therefore it will increase the efforts in the struggle for the child. For it knows that if it does not, the child may step into a totally secular 21st century. Another author in a secular humanist magazine wrote this: "Children are the prizes to the winner of the second great civil war. Those who control what young people are taught, what they experience, what they see, hear, think, and believe will determine the future course of the nation. Given that influence, the prominent value system of an entire culture can be overhauled in one generation, or certainly two, by those with unlimited access to the children." Hey, church, parents of a Pacific Baptist school student, let's see the potential of our children tonight. These children have much more potential than most of us. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I didn't grow up in a Christian school like this. I didn't go to a church like Pacific Baptist Church. And these young people right here, they have so much more potential. They don't have to, you know, maybe ever smoke a cigarette or drink a sip of alcohol or experience any bad movies or bad music or whatever it is that you and I have had to go through. Hey, they have a lot of potential tonight. The Bible says that as a father, my children are like arrows that are to be shot out from our homes into this world to make a difference for Christ. Amen. To be the next preacher or the pastor's wife, to be the next missionary or faithful deacon, the Christian businessman, or whatever they do for the Lord, they have a lot of potential. We must see the potential tonight. So let me say number two, realize that God is for teaching and training the next generation. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child." That word "train" is simply repetitious teaching. You know, you teach your kids over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's what it's called. It's called training. By the way, don't get weary of well-doing. You just keep on training those kids. Amen. "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down and when thou risest up, God is telling us, hey, as parents, we need to be constantly teaching our children all of the time. Joel 1, verse 2, the Bible says, hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Have this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children another generation. Hey, let me remind us tonight that God is a God of teaching and training. God is for equipping and educating the next generation of Christians. God is a God of the next generation. That's why the Bible says that God is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. What is that? He's the God of one generation and the next generation and the next generation. We as God's people need to take it upon ourselves to teach the next generation. Yes, we send our kids to a Christian school where they will learn Bible verses. Boy, that was a lot of Bible verses there. But that's not good enough. We as parents must take it upon ourselves to say that biblical command where we're to be teaching our children all the time, not just at school, but when they wake up in the morning and when they go throughout the day and when they go to bed. It's our responsibility, moms and dads. Like we heard earlier, whoever controls the children controls the next generation. If we want our grandchildren to grow up and be able to have some of the same freedoms we have today, we must teach the next generation. It's going to take some work. The Bible says that we must teach them diligently. And I know how it is. You come home from work, you're tired, and your kids are bouncing off the walls. You're like, wow, you need to drink 5 cups of coffee just to walk in the house. And I know you're tired, but the Bible says it's diligent. It's going to take some work. And yes, moms and dads, it's going to take work, but you just keep on working and you just keep on working. And I promise you, one of these days, it will pay off. Parents, let's see the potential in our children and understand that God is for teaching and training the next generation. Let me say lastly, the best way to equip our children for life is to give them a Christian education. George Washington, the first president of our country, said this: it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Noah Webster, known as the father of American scholarship and education, also best known for Webster's Dictionary, said this: the Bible must be considered as the great source of all the truth by which men are to be guided in government as well as in all social transactions. James Madison, known as the father of our Constitution, also the fourth president of the United States, said this: we have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind to self-government, upon the capacity of each and of all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. I believe that these men, the founders of our great nation, understood the importance of a Christian education. By the way, I don't believe that we need more Christians. I don't. If you look at it, there's more Christians that go to church on a Sunday morning than ever before in the history of our country. There are more mega churches, a church over 2,000, there are more mega churches in our country than ever before. The answer is not more Christians. What I believe the answer is more of God's people that have a Christian education, that are able to look at this world from a biblical perspective and make decisions about the future. Hey, we need to have a Christian education. A true Christian education should simply reinforce the godly biblical principles in your home, not tear them down. A man by the name of Benjamin Bloom, an American educational psychologist, author of a book known as Bloom's Taxonomy. This book is a foundational book that is used still today in writing of modern day curriculum. Basically, in secular curriculum, they use Bloom's Taxonomy as a major book, a foundational book. This is what this man said. A good education is challenging the fixed beliefs of the student. Challenging the fixed beliefs. I don't know about you, but I don't want anybody challenging my child's fixed beliefs. I don't want anybody challenging what I believe about God and the Bible, what we teach about marriage or drugs or alcohol or premarital relations. I don't want anybody challenging my child's fixed beliefs. Chester M. Pierce, a professor of education and psychiatry at Harvard, the first college in America, said this: every child in America entering school at age 5, these children right here, 5 years old, is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances to our founding fathers, towards elected officials, towards his parents, towards a belief in a supernatural being, and toward the sovereignty of this nation as a separate entity. It's up to you as teachers to make all these sick children well by creating the international child of the future. I beg to differ. My child is not sick in the head. This guy right here is sick in the head. This guy needs some help. Good night. Hey, we need to have a Christian education. A biblical, a true Christian education will reinforce the biblical principles in your home, not challenge them. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's kind of the philosophy we have as a school. The threefold cord is the home, the church, and the Christian school, all going the same direction to produce a godly next generation. By the way, let me say, of those three, the strongest is the home. If you have a Christian school and a church going this direction, but the home is going a different direction, that's not going to turn out a child for the next generation. We got to be on the same page. Thank God for a Christian education, and thank God for a Christian school. Amen. It's up to us as moms and dads, with God's help, the church's help, and the school's help, to raise up the next generation of godly people. Thank you for your sacrifices. Your labor is not in vain. All right? At this time, Brother Myers is going to come up and pray. And then after we pray, you can be dismissed. And we have cake and some stuff out there for all the families. And again, thank you so much for being here tonight. Really, it's all about the next generation and what these young people represent. And Brother Myers, you come up and we'll pray.